time to take control of your happiness. This is Being Young at Any Age on EZ 1430. Now, here's your host, George Bentley.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Being Young at Any Age. This is George Bentley. You know, this show is all about how we can create our own self-directed roadmap and learn how to live a life with optimal happiness, health, wellness, and vitality, no matter what our current challenges are. And as we were speaking last time, we talked about stress and how humor is a great antidote to stress, and it's something I believe we should all be trying to do every day. I told you guys last week about my dad and the challenge my dad and I entered into about 5 years ago. If you'll recall, my dad's now 99 years old. In fact, I'm going to fly back next Friday to see him, and he's doing great. And we had an agreement where we promised ourselves that every day when we woke up, before we got out of bed and let our feet hit the floor, we would sincerely tell ourselves, this is going to be the best day of my life, and mean it. And I did that this morning. The other thing we agreed to was we wouldn't go to bed at night and we wouldn't let our feet leave the floor to go to sleep without having made at least one other person laugh. And I think that's really important. My dad took that to heart, and I told you jokingly how every now and then I get a phone call from him, and he's like, hey, did you hear the one about, you know, I'm going, okay, Dad, I'm laughing, you can go to bed now, whatever. But humor is vitally important. So today we're going to speak with Terry Lynn Ranella. Am I saying your last name correctly?
You are.
Oh,
yes.
Right, I got it right. And I love anybody with two first names. You know, I'm just a dumb old boy from Arkansas, right? She's going, you can call me Terry. And I'm like, no, no. I was like, I like Terry Lynn. Because Terry Lynn make me feel like I'm at home. You know, and I got to feel like I'm at home. So we're good. We're already laughing, right? Terry Lynn has got an amazing story, I think, that you're going to enjoy. And it covers these points that I'm trying to encourage you to really stop and think about. And we touched on this last week, and I want to remind you that our content is going to fall into three major buckets. And these are pretty large buckets, and I'm the one that describes them because I have to be the one that can explain them to people. And I tell folks, you know, being just a dumb old boy from Arkansas, I got to keep it simple, right? Keep it simple, stupid. And so these four secrets, these four buckets, I call eat right, exercise, avoid injury, and reduce stress. Now, those things cover a lot of different topics and issues, but if you stop and think about it, under eat right, that's where I would put the issue that we face in terms of the pharmaceuticals we're taking. Mm-hmm. The average 65-year-old in the United States today takes 5 to 7 prescription medications. Can you imagine? Well, you probably can if you're out there listening, because you may be doing that. But that's a lot of prescription medication. To me, that falls into the eat right category. Stress is a huge killer. And I think Terry Lynn here is going to talk to us about some stress and how she dealt with it. But your story covers more than one of these topic areas, right?
It does, yes.
And
yes.
Virtually everybody's does. So yes. You have formed the Whole Health Coalition.
Yes.
Tell me real quickly, what is the Whole Health Coalition? What's that all about?
Well, I went through a cancer journey, and as I came out of it, the oncologist that I finally started working with, I worked with a lot, told me that they were so impressed about how I came through my cancer journey. It was an extremely aggressive cancer. It was very rare. And I had combined medical and also nutrition and supplementation and exercise to get me through the cancer journey. So I formed the company, the Whole Health Coalition. Just meaning it is all about the mind, the body, the spirit, and the soul in order to not just get well from a chronic disease, but also live a happy and joyful life.
I love the way you describe yourself, right? Terry Lynn is a life changer and a joy sparker.
That's me. Right? I'm a joy. Yes. I'm out sparking joy.
She ain't no coach. No, sir. She's a life changer and a joy sparker. And I think you can tell she can spark some joy. Well, why? How has stress actually affected your life?
Well, I before becoming a joy sparker, I was an...
Do you have to go to training for that?
No. Well, I can train anyone.
So, there you go.
George, if you need training, I'm your girl.
There you go.
Before cancer, I was a corporate executive sales leader. I traveled all over the country, actually all over the world, running sales organizations. My life was stressed. That was my middle name. I mean, I was constantly stressed. Obviously, in sales, it's all about the numbers.
So it's Terry Lynn Stress Renault?
Terry Lynn Stress Renault. It was. It was. That's the former me.
Let me see your driver's license. I don't believe you. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So stress was always on the forefront. And I also have lost a lot of family members. So I've lost three brothers very young, and very suddenly, I lost both my parents. And so I was living in fight or flight, which most of us do in America. And it really took a toll on my body and eventually brought the cancer on.
Yeah. Number one killer, right?
Stress. It is. One it is. It is. It will bring on chronic diseases.
And it makes me think, you know, why is the news always so negative, and why is it that people tend to respond to negativity? A lot of people facing what you did would have gone dark and negative. I work with people with health and mobility issues every day, and it's like this bright line difference between people that they just absorb their negativity, they feel sorry for themselves, it's just awful. And then there are these bright lights that, they've gone through horrific challenges. I told a story last week about a young lady with MS, and she's now basically a four-point quadriplegic, but she's foster parenting.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
Downs children. So when I walk into their house, I'm there to help modify their home, make it safe for them. I walk past the living room, and there are four Downs challenged children in the living room. And her and her husband are foster parenting. And then I hear this, yip, 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 yip. I hear all this dog barking, and they're apologizing. And they're rescuing dogs at the same time. And they have a whole litter of chihuahuas that they've rescued from a dumpster. And they're sitting there going, we're trying to teach them how to be dogs.
Aw, is that
like,
the
wow,
best?
You're so cool. You know, and I'm going to have her on the show one of these days. But but we are programmed to deal with stress. You mentioned our brain, fight or flight, right? The amygdala is the part of us that processes sound and vision.
Yes.
And tells us, you know, is this dangerous or not, right?
Right.
And stress. And we have so much stress in our society today. And the difference is 50,000 years ago, if I miss the good stress, there's a great berry bush over there. You know, okay, fine, I'll get there later. It wasn't such a big deal. But if I miss the negative stimulation, there's a saber-toothed tiger in the bush over there.
Yes.
I'm out of the gene pool.
Yes, right? Yes.
Right? And you'll notice, you know, survival of the fittest, right? The goofy ones get kind of pushed to the back of the herd. You know, I tell you, you never see a three-legged antelope. You won't, you know? And that's
never
part
thought about that, George.
Well, I have. I've given
you
it a lot of thought. I went through a lot of those jungle nature, and there's not one three-legged antelope out there. You know, maybe for a little while, but not for long. And my point is, we evolved. We're addicted to negativity.
We are. And we're addicted to stress. Stress is actually stored in the body. And it's great, like you were saying, if you're running from a tiger.
Saber-tooth.
Yes, don't forget the saber-tooth. Fight or flight is fabulous. But guess what? It's not fabulous, and it's very detrimental on the body if you're constantly in it. And the most of the, especially working professionals like I was, we're constantly in fight or flight.
Yep.
And it's very, very detrimental to our
body. One of the things we talk about is since the dawn of man on earth, however we got here, doesn't matter how you think we got here, but once we were here, right, every generation has had a longer life expectancy than the preceding generation.
Yes.
Every generation until now. Until now.
Yeah.
Center for Disease Control, last 2 years, life expectancy in the United States has dropped.
Right.
And why is that? And the only reason is because of what we're doing to our bodies and what we're doing to our children's bodies, right? And I talk about how we're talking about stress. You know, we're full of stress in this society today. It's stimulation everywhere. And our kids are being raised with a lot of stimulation, but no meaningful response to it.
Yes.
They sit there and jiggle their thumbs and that sort of thing.
Yes.
And that's not a response to me of that is appropriate for the amount of stress we're dealing with.
Yeah.
We're marinating in stress.
I agree.
And talk about stress, right?
Yeah.
One day, you woke up in the ICU, right?
I did.
Tell me about that.
So,
did you laugh that day, Bubba?
I had a ventilator in, so
chuckling under the
nothing like waking up in ICU with a ventilator to make you reevaluate your entire life. And yes, I woke up. I actually woke up, and I could not move my body. I couldn't open my eyes. I couldn't move my hands or my feet. I just couldn't move anything. And I heard, I'd come out of this great dream, this dream where I was perfect. I was absolutely perfect. And then, boom, I was all of a sudden awake. And I heard a woman say, I could hear her talking on the telephone or on a cell phone. And I heard her say, "Hey, I got to go. I'm bagging a woman." And I'm like, that's me. And the first thing
bagging?
I thought of, bagging a woman.
Bagging a woman. Now, and first, when I was growing up, that meant something different.
That meant body bag. Right? No?
No.
George, we can't go there.
I say Bill Clinton wanted to be president so he could bag the babes, right? Make it a little easier. Okay, I'm sorry.
All right.
we're not going to edit that now.
No, I mean, the first thing I thought, I wish I could have thought a little bit, but I thought a body bag.
Yeah.
Sure, and I'm like, I didn't know. I was disoriented. I didn't know where I was. I thought body bag. I also thought, wait, aren't I supposed to be like floating up above?
All right, yeah.
Watching this whole thing. And then it all came back to me. I ended up on ICU because, on a ventilator, because that morning my tumors, which were massive by this time and had come back a third time, had started bleeding. They couldn't get them to stop bleeding, and I almost bled out that morning.
Wow. Now, did you know you had this condition when this happened, or was this a total surprise to you?
Did I know I had cancer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, because I had the huge tumors.
Okay.
Yeah, and they were on the side of my face. And
okay.
This was the third time the cancer had come back.
Okay.
I'd been through a lot of medical. I didn't trust the medical community. I was doing some holistic and medical, but yes, I knew, of course. And, oh. and I kept working. This was the crazy thing.
You mean like your job working?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I had tumors, large tumors on the side of my face, and I was working for a software company.
Yeah.
I was working, it was owned by private equity. Talk about stress. And I was going in every day. I got up that morning to go to work. And I touched one of the tumors and it started to bleed. And it had, before I'd lost a lot, I was anemic. And I was heading to work, yes.
Was that head work? But that fulfilled you, right? You felt...
Again, the work?
Yeah, I mean, or was this just you on overstress, autopilot?
You know, my work as a sales leader, I feel was doing something that everybody else expected of me. Right. I enjoyed it because I got to coach sales teams and individual people. And that fulfilled me because usually what I was coaching them on to help them become successful was more personal than it was business. So that did. But no, is that what I was put here on this earth to do? Absolutely not. But it was the big paycheck. I had the house. I was a divorced single mom. I was just in fear all the time. Right. And
sort of autopilot, maybe.
I was definitely an autopilot, yeah, and there's nothing worse than autopilot.
So let me share something with you and see if maybe you can jet stream into this.
Okay.
One of the concepts that I'm sharing with my listeners is the idea, you know, I call myself a curious George, and the only reason that I know what I know is I tell people, look, you should start asking why.
Yes.
Why? If somebody says something to you, and I say something to you, I tell everybody who hears my voice, you don't have to agree with me. You may say, oh, I agree with that. Or you may say, I disagree with that. But it doesn't matter how you answer that question. I think you should go to the next level and go, well, why do I agree with him? Or why do I disagree with him? If we did that with our politicians,
yes.
I'm telling you, the country would be a lot better off.
A lot different.
We might actually have some honest, productive, effective politicians. And I don't care what letter you put after your name.
Right.
Yeah, R-N-D-T, whatever. I don't care. Yeah, if you're a politician, I don't really like you. Yeah, you know, I hate to say that. I was at the mayor's fundraiser last night. But you know, we should be asking questions.
Yes. Yes.
We're the ones that are in control of our life. We're the ones who can decide.
Yes.
And so why? And my wife is a cancer survivor.
Oh.
Okay. She, stage 4 breast cancer, radiation surgery, the whole deal, right?
Right.
Humor. She will tell you stress caused it.
Yep.
And she will tell you that humor got her through it. Yeah. Laughter and being having a positive attitude got her through it.
Right.
So she's 6 years post surgery and all that now, right?
Fabulous.
And I love the way you say it. She's a cancer thriver.
Yes. Right? Yes, we are thrivers.
And she is. So they had told her for 5 years that she will be on this chemo for 5 years and then she'll go off. So okay. We're at her fifth year post follow-up. And the oncologist sits down and says, Gabby, I know I told you we were going to take you off of chemo at 5 years, and we are going to take you off that medication. But there's another medication that we'd like you to take maybe for another 5 years. And she goes, well, is it chemo? And he goes, well, yeah, it's just a different cocktail, right? And she was visibly disappointed. And you can't make this up.
Okay.
Listen to this. This is how crazy it can be. And I've got a question for you, okay?
I get it.
I'm leading here.
Okay.
And I look at this guy and I say, well, why? Right? And he goes, why what? Why are you recommending she do this? She says, well, he says, well, I think it would be best for her. And I said, okay, but why? Do you have any evidence-based medical information that would document that this is a good thing for her to be doing? Why are you doing it? And this is what, I swear to God, word for word, can't make it up. This is what the guy said. Well, there are some doctors who think they may have had a few patients who have seen benefit by taking this medication for an additional 5 years.
What?
Think about that. There are some doctors who think they may have had. I'm like, wow, that's your basis? For telling my beautiful, lovely partner to keep taking this toxic chemical? And he's like, that's my advice. She can do what she wants to do, but that's my advice.
Well.
And then I'll ask people, you know, do you think Gabby is taking that medication? By the way, she's off of it now, but
good.
Do you think she took that medication? Well, obviously, I just gave you the answer. Blew my own story there. But she did. And right. And again, why?
Right.
Why would she do that? We didn't have any independent knowledge that was superior to her oncologist. It fell back on us to say why or why not.
Right.
And if we're not going to take it, we hit the why not. And it's, well, we don't have any information. He's your trusted advisor at this point. He's been taking care of you. His knowledge was greater than ours. But that didn't mean we didn't start looking into it, researching it, whatever.
Right.
And now, by mutual agreement, the oncologist has agreed, as of, I don't know, several months ago, he doesn't think she needs to take it anymore. So we got to the same place.
This is good.
But I understand, right? People need to be prepared to fire doctors, right?
Yes.
If they're the why or why not's lining up, not
yes.
lining up. Did you ever fire any oncologists?
I fired about 12.
12? Holy smokes!
Or just told them.
Did you have you were blacklisted? Oh my God, Terry Lynn. If anybody named Terry Lynn tries to come to your practice, you know.
Well, I went all over the country, George. I had a very rare and aggressive cancer when it came back the second time. And I just started researching. Unfortunately, 3 years prior to my cancer diagnosis, my brother lost his life to cancer.
Oh, my.
So that's when I really started researching. But yes, I went all across the country. I went to MD Anderson. I went to Cancer Treatment Centers of America. I was here in Colorado, and I didn't like the answers because they were very similar to what the answer the doctor gave your wife. I am a statistic. I am a data girl. I'm out of the high-tech industry. I want to see stats, and right. There were none. And, well, your cancer's so rare, we don't. You know, why do you want to do chemo? I mean, I've gotten into arguments and finally just walked away. And I walked away from about 12 different oncologists over the three-year period.
Was there one in particular that sticks out in your mind?
Well, the oncologist that was brought in to ICU when I ended up. Okay, so first I want to say that she saved my life.
Thank you.
She did.
Thank you.
And I do believe in medical and alternative combined.
And I want to be clear about that too.
It's
like I help people stay out of nursing homes.
Right.
Right? I'm not against nursing homes.
No.
Right?
No.
And I am not against doctors, and I'm not against prescription medication. Thank God we, and that's part of the technology.
It is, yes.
We will live to be 95, 100 years old. Our life expectancies will expand.
Yes.
And it'll be because we get smarter and we have access to these amazing technologies and information and knowledge that's being developed in our healthcare system. Right now we have a sick care system, right?
Yes.
We don't get attention unless we're sick.
We do.
But I think we're going to change that.
I think
baby boomers are going to change that because we have to.
I agree. So she saved my life. I mean, she was brought into the emergency room. She's a surgical oncologist. She was brought into the emergency room to stop this bleeding. And when she couldn't, she had to transport me to another hospital where they did a very sophisticated embolization where they put matter into the blood vessels leading to the face to stop the bleeding. But it was temporary. So she saved my life. But what happened was once I stabilized, she came in and said, okay, when we get you healthy, we're going to do surgery and we're going to cut, we're going to take out your cheekbone and we're going to take your jawbone and we're going to go down into your throat because the cancer's down there. And it wasn't, I knew it wasn't. And we're going to, you're probably going to be on a feeding tube for the rest of your life. And that's a 15-hour surgery and you'll go through five more. I'm not living right. that life. Now, I mean, you see
me.
I smile a lot.
Right.
I mean, you can't joy spark if you don't have a smile. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. I know there's a better way. And did it make her? No, it didn't make her happy. I mean, that's what she knew. She was a surgical oncologist. And a lot of doctors, they do what they know, and they do believe that's what's best for
you. Okay, so how did you make that next step where you're going, I don't like that advice.
Right.
Right? It doesn't feel warm and fuzzy to me.
Yes.
So now what? What did you do next?
Well, the first thing is I relied on faith. I have a tremendous amount of faith, and I had to rely on my faith. And I had to rely on myself. So the faith really starts within you.
Sure.
And so I knew there was a better way, and I started researching, and I found a very specialized oncologist right here in Colorado who did specialized radiation, had pulled out of the hospitals, and I knew the type of radiation. I asked him, what kind of machines do you have? I'd already researched all this, and I was ready to go to Europe to figure out, you know, they do more sophisticated treatments. So I knew I wanted very specialized radiation. I knew I wanted oxygen therapy, and I knew that I wanted hypothermia. And those three combined, he did all three of them. Mm-hmm. One of the only oncologists in the country that does. And it was my faith. And then I have four children, and I have seven grandbabies.
Oh my.
And they spurred me on. I mean, the love that I have for them and the love that they have for me, it almost makes me cry. That combined, and they bring me so much joy. And between my faith and my family and my friends, here I am.
So you're talking about joy and joy sparking. I'm getting a little tired of it, frankly. I find it very depressing. But I'm an energy guy, right?
Yes, me too.
I think
I love
energy is what it's all about.
Yes,
and
we're
all programmed to respond to negative energies.
Yes.
And, you know, I tell a lot of stories around that during the course of my life.
Yes.
But one of them that's kind of ringing in my ears now is, you know, maybe you don't, but my mom was healthy, 83, fell and hurt herself, and downward spiral. And it was iatrogenic. It was reactions to medical treatments and things that, you know, a year to the day later, she's dead in a nursing home. Right. My dad was unhealthy. And one of his problems was he had shot hips and shot knees. And so after my mom passed, my dad was told they were going to replace both his hips.
Okay.
And this is the other side of the same coin that we're talking about, okay? It goes both ways. Why not? The doc comes in and says, my dad's nickname is Bimbo. Sorry. Okay. So you know why I laugh.
Sparks some joy.
Bimbo, we're gonna replace both your hips. But what I'll do is I'll go in and replace the first one. You're doing well. Otherwise, you're okay. You'll recover from that. And then when you recover from that, I'll come in and I'll replace the other hip. But at 83 years old, 84 by the time we finish the second one, you may not be able to do everything you could do before. You might not be able to drive. You know, you might want to think about, you know, being closer to your kids, having somebody around you to help you.
Right.
My dad calls me and he says, the doctor says I've got to go into a nursing home. I'm like, what? I said, the doctor. And so he tells me what. I said, Dad, that's not what the doctor said, right? Yes. The last thing he says was, you've got plenty of time. But what he heard was, you're going to become infirm, you're going to be dependent, you're going to be in a nursing home just like your wife, and pass in a nursing home the way she did. Aww. So, trust me, he's 99. We got him turned around.
Yes.
but that was an energy thing to me.
Right,
we had to shift his energy. So what is, to you, what has energy got to do with joy?
Well, first of all, we're all made up of energy. And so negative energy is, you know, hate. And think of all the negative
frustration, anger,
stress. Yeah. I mean, that's all negative energy. And the higher energies are love and joy. And the biggest energetic chakra, if you in your body, your energy center, is your heart. So when you open up your heart and you walk around outside and you're talking to people and your heart is open and you're full of joy, you're giving them that energy. And that is what I do. I hand out flower bouquets to complete strangers. And I dance in my car and people laugh at me, but I'm
you
full.
You dance in your car?
I dance in my car. I was dancing.
While you're driving?
Yeah. I'm careful. I've got both hands on the, I'm doing this. And I was dancing to Bruno Mars this morning on the way down.
Good for you.
It makes me happy.
Yeah.
And so think about it. What makes you happy? Dancing, whatever it might be.
It's like my wife and I last night going to this event, right? A fundraiser. Oh, yeah. And we're, what is it? That old song, Electric Avenue?
Yes, I love that song.
We're rocking out, singing that song.
And were you happy?
Oh, we were very happy.
See?
Yeah.
See?
It kind of waned a little bit in the middle of everything, but we got it back.
And that's what I'm about. I'm about sparking joy with people. That makes me happy, and it makes other people happy. And when I hand out flowers, I touch their arm. I hand out to ladies. I haven't handed out. I mean, I probably have handed out over 300 bouquets over the last year.
Wow, that's amazing.
And I've touched lives, and I've had people go on social media, and it's been amazing, the experiences.
Sounds great.
Yes.
So what's next for you?
Well, I'm speaking to groups about stress, about cancer, chronic diseases, and about joy. And I'm working with individuals and corporations about changing people's lives. And the first thing I do 120-day, the energetics of health and wellness. And
oh,
I start out with 40 days of de-stressing and how to find your joy and what lights you up. Not when you're on vacation,
right.
On the weekends, but everyday life when you're in stressful, like traffic, that's very stressful.
So how do you manage stress reduction?
How do you manage? Yes. And so that's where I focus my first module. Then I go into nutrition and exercise.
Yeah. Nice.
Yes.
And you got a book in the making?
I have a book in the making.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a few titles if anyone out there wants to help me. Getting Up is one of my titles because I have been pushed down quite a few times. I lost three brothers very young, both my parents. The cancer was
getting up,
and then it'll have a subtitle to it.
Well, sure.
But it
makes me think. One of my mentors I truly love is Les Brown. You know, Les Brown, the motivational speaker.
Yes, I do.
And I'll never forget. I was listening to Les one time at this gathering, and he says, "Life is going to knock me down." I can't. A lot more energy than that. Life is going to knock you down. But when I fall down, I'm always going to land on my back. Because if I can look up, I can get up.
That's my kind of guy.
When you say that, getting up, I'm like, nah, yeah, you're going to get
there
knocked down.
Yeah.
Just land on your back. It'll be a lot easier for you to get up. So as we move forward here, first of all, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming and sharing your joy and your spark and all that. Because this is what my audience needs to hear. I mean, I'm talking to baby boomers and the parents of baby boomers, and then I'm talking to the children of baby boomers.
Yes.
So it really is everybody. And the message is it's all about being young.
Yes.
At any age.
Yes.
And we're here to help you create your own self-directed guide, roadmap to optimal health, happiness, vitality, no matter what your current challenges are. We will live to be 90, 95, 100 years old. We're going to be excited and happy about it. So join us here next week. Thanks for coming in and stopping by. You can contact me at 303-388-8887. Next week, hopefully, we're going to have for you the blog and the YouTube. You just Google George Bentley and YouTube it or whatever. Look for us on Facebook. Look for Terry Lynn Rennell. Hunt her down or call me and we'll get you her information.
Oh, I'd love that.
All right. Yes. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Being Young at Any Age with George Bentley. Tune in next weekend to learn how to create a roadmap to achieve happiness, health, and wellness today on EZ 1430.